T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, what an hour radio awaits you, lucky listeners. Hot Seat's coming up in a few minutes. We've got the Joe Conklin new Ben Simmons song, It's Nasty. And it's going to go up in a special song off against the word master himself, Butch from Manioc, because Butch has his own new Ben song. And on the line with us right now is a man, I just want to say this before I introduce him. He is a man who is an elite journalist. He is a man who has lasted so long in this city because he has asked the questions you, the fan, want answers to. It is always an honor to have on our show columnist from the Delco Times, Jack McCaffrey. Hi, Jack.
Hello, Ange.
All right, Jack. Are you a big fan right now in this moment of Ben Simmons?
Not really. I've never been. I wasn't a big fan of his at LSU. When you saw him play in college, you said that this guy's flawed. When you saw the great documentary, I think it was on Showtime, about his year at LSU, right. You saw what kind of an egomaniac he is. It was self-centered and disinterested in winning. So when they drafted him, I wasn't real high on Ben Simmons. Then you watch him play. You say, okay, he can rebound. He's got elite court vision. He can get from one end of the court to the other in 5 or 6 strides. And so there were some positives. But those the inability and the refusal to shoot really diminishes any claim that he has to be a superstar. And he wants to be treated like a superstar. He's paid like a superstar, and he's not a superstar. And that there's your problem with Ben Simmons. Okay. It's this image that he built that Brett Brown insisted upon expanding on, and which the Sixers continue to pound away. You even heard Doc yesterday. This guy can be salvaged. This guy is – he's not. We've seen what he is. He is an above-average point forward that can defend a little bit. And that's what he is. And he's in here for $170 million. And 3 years from now, he's going to be making $40 million. You've got a real problem.
If you're keeping score at home, Jack McCaffrey is not a fan of Ben Simmons. Now,
really?
Jack, is Ben Simmons, is Jack McCaffrey, do you have a good relationship with Ben? Does he like you?
I don't know.
Well, I have the answer to that. He does not. All right.
Okay, good.
And now I'll bring in my brother John Johnson.
What I care.
And John Johnson was witness to a situation involving you and Ben Simmons. John, would you please recount
what did I do?
You did nothing.
No.
Let him tell the story.
Jack,
it's great.
Well, I've always appreciated Jack. He's a basketball man through and through.
He's a journalist.
And he, when it comes to certain situations, he will ask the questions that need to be asked. But he'll do it, you know, he'll challenge a player at times, but he'll do it in a very respectful way.
Yes.
And he's gotten into exchanges with players before. But with Ben, it was always different. There's been multiple occasions, one in particular that always sticks out to me, is that when he would ask Ben a challenging question, and Ben would just, he would almost insult Jack and not answer the question. In this particular incident, immediately after Ben getting furious and not answering the question, he pulled a member of the PR staff aside in front of everybody, and he said, "Don't ever let that guy ask me an effing question ever again." In front of everybody.
Wow.
Now, thankfully, the PR is like, you know, just kind of scoffed it off, but Ben meant it at the time. So, that, I mean, it goes to show you, Jack knows the questions that need to be asked, but Ben isn't willing to, have to answer them.
And Jack, your response to what you just heard?
Probably a little exaggerated from John, you know, much like the stories are.
That's
you know,
his whole life.
You want to tell a story, you don't think they exaggerate a little bit there. But, I never really had that many problems asking the question. He usually answered my questions.
All right, but here's the bottom line. The guy is incorrigible. Do you understand? He's a jerk.
He's a jerk.
He's selfish. He's clueless. And now we know he's gutless. Stop me when I'm wrong. All right, Jack?
Hey, you got it all right. He's a loser.
All right.
He's absolute loser. Okay? He lost at LSU.
Yep.
He lost. He got Brett Brown fired. He's a coach killer, and he is a team killer. And the sooner you figure that out, the better you're off you're going to be. And the Sixers are about to figure it out.
Hold on, but you just alluded to what Doc Rivers said yesterday, Jack. He said one day after having no plan for this guy, not even being certain he knew what role the guy had, said, "I got the whole thing figured out. I have a plan." You heard him say that. What's the plan? This is absurd.
The plan is for Doc Rivers, if you're going to trade a guy, what's Doc going to come on and say, he's hopeless? Doc's going to say, listen, we can salvage this guy. For one thing, it's good poker. It's like, okay,
all right,
maybe the Sixers are thinking about salvaging him. The one thing we found out about Doc Rivers this year, and I was on every one of the calls that he did all year, is that he thinks two or three steps ahead. Whatever he says, you can pretty much be sure that he's plotting something down the road. He obviously is going to tout that, hey, we can correct this. He's going to be fine. We're going to work on his foul shooting, and we're going to do this and that. And then what did it cost him? It cost him nothing to do that yesterday, and it may benefit them when they trade.
But you're saying there is no plan.
There's no plan if Ben Simmons doesn't want to participate in it.
Right.
What is this, some basketball clinic for a 9-year-old? You're going to bring him in and have a foul shooting station? Come on. It's not good. Doc knows that.
All right, hold on.
If they haven't corrected Ben Simmons' outside shooting at this point, it's not going to happen.
All right, hold on. People should know you have a brother who is a terrific head coach in basketball. If your brother, Fran, took over Ben Simmons, could he improve the holes Ben has in his game?
The same thing I just said about Doc Rivers.
No.
It would have to come from Ben Simmons. He's going to have to want to do it. Doc having a plan is not going to work. You don't have a plan.
Right.
The guy's a $170 million pro. He's either going to work on his game or he's not. You're not going to have him take 1,000 foul shots or whatever these crazy things you've heard over the years are. That doesn't work. He has to want to do it.
The problem is it had to be done while he's here. You can't tell him that on getaway day.
No.
He's gone for the next couple of months.
Jack's saying it's his attitude.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that.
His attitude is never going to improve.
Doc is trying to tell us that he's fixing something over the break when Ben's not going to be here.
No. He's not going to do it.
No. You can't tell Ben Simmons or his posse, whatever you want to call it. You can't tell these people that he is not the greatest. He surrounds himself with people who tell him how good he is. The best example was Brett Brown. Brett knew basketball more than anybody. If Brett Brown couldn't improve you, nobody could.
Nope.
Instead, the whole idea was to just say, hey, this guy is great, and he's going to be good. I remember Brett used to say, where do you see him when he's 26? 26? Come on.
No, it's not going to happen. Oh, I got one more for you, Jack, and I don't have the answer to this. I'm coming to you because Johnson gave me nothing on this. I brought him all the way in to replace Al, and he had nothing.
Yeah.
Doc was talking about the culture on the team. And he revealed something that surprised me. Coaches normally don't say this after a season. Here's Doc yesterday.
Some of the things that we have to fix still, the culture of this team and around this team, the teaching, not just the players, but even off the floor staff on driving this entire organization. Like everybody has to be in. And to me, that's what we have to keep trying to improve. And the more we improve that around them, the more they'll do it themselves.
Jack McCaffrey, what is he talking about there?
He's talking about what he was brought in to do. And he, when you think about it, he really only had, three quarters of a year to do it without really a training camp. I mean, he brought Doc Rivers in to make major changes. And he really didn't have the time to do that. So here you go. You gave him really a mini camp or whatever you would have called that training camp. Then you gave him a 72-game season where you're playing every other day. Then a pretty rushed playoffs. Now he's the first time you get – not the first time, but you, now he sits back and says, yes, what did you see over this first year? He says, well, we've got changes that have to be made. He is absolutely right. This is a team that consistently gets to the playoffs and fails. So that's what he's here for. And he's here for more than 72 regular season games to get it done. So that I would interpret that as him saying, okay, I watched this for a very, very rapid season here, and there are things that I need to do. He mentioned off-court staff. That's irrelevant to me, but if you're putting together a program, there's obviously somebody on that off-court staff that's bothering him or whatever, not even bothering him. He wants to do it different than it was done previously, and he's now going to be able to implement his way of doing things. So that would be how I would interpret that. Is that
right. Well, we will
he didn't
see.
Have a whole lot of chance. He didn't have a whole lot of chance to put his full imprint on the team.
I don't know if they're going to let him do that, but we'll find out. That's what makes it interesting. Jack McCaffrey, thank you as always, my friend.
Right.
You are an elite journalist.
Thanks, Angelo.
Thank you, Jack.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.